Listening friend, it's Monday, November 4th, 2024. We'll continue with our series through the book of Exodus, looking at chapter 5. As Pastor Jason Epperson of CU Church, we'll continue our series on Monday. What I'm including today is opening remarks he makes each and every Sunday during the three services that I appreciate and think every church should say something like this. So I trust you'll be blessed by his remarks, along with discoveries made in Exodus chapter 5. Here's Pastor Jason Epperson.
Well, hey, y'all. First things first, my name is Jason, and I'm so glad that y'all are here today. A couple things kind of about this gathering on a Sunday morning. The first thing is this, it's a place where everyone's welcome. Daniel has said that. David has said that. I want to be another person to say that. The reason why we say you're welcome, though, is not because it's just not nice. It is a nice thing to say, but the reality is the reason that you're welcome is because we believe more than anything else in this world that God desires relationship with all people. And he wants everyone to feel welcome in his presence. He wants everyone to feel welcome in his kids' presence. And so he's wanted that since the very beginning of time. When God created the heavens and the earth, it was about a relationship with humanity. Sin came into the picture, screwed it up, and really since then, there's been a broken relationship between God and man, and there's been a broken relationship between us. But the truth is, God made a promise, and that was in Jesus, and that's what we celebrate here today. In the Old Testament, they had this thing called the temple. It's like where they went to worship God. And in the temple, God designed it. He made the largest area of square footage in the whole temple, this place called the Court of Gentiles. And the reason he made the largest area of square footage is he cared the most about it. Like, he wanted people to know. And in the Court of Gentiles, every tongue, tribe, nation, belief system, socioeconomic class, color, race, creed, like, whatever you were or thought, you were welcome in that place. And the reason you were welcome is he wants the world to know how good he is. And so, welcome to our Court of Gentiles, y'all. This is a place that everyone's welcome. But just like in the Old Testament, just like today, we're going to lift up the name of Jesus because we believe he's the way, the truth, and the life. And so we also believe and we also try to be a church that loves God and loves people. And the reason why we say that and do that is simply this. We want to be a church that loves God and loves people because Jesus, when he was asked the question what the greatest commandment was, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. Love your neighbors yourself. And so we just shorten it down and we say we're going to love God and love people. And really every ideal found in Scripture flows into those two things. And so that's my who we are. Now I'm going to pray and then I'm going to preach. You with me on that? God, you're good and we love you. We're yours. Lord, even in the songs that we sang, I sense that today is a unique day. God, we're grateful for the history that we have. We're grateful that you've always been. We're grateful that we're your people. And we're grateful that this is your service and I'm your dude. And I pray that in these next few moments, Lord, that we can just learn more of you so we can enjoy this world more and love the people around us better. And God, I pray that today that we can leave our chains where they belong, not on us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So today we're in Exodus chapter 5. If you've been with us every single week, you've kind of heard the story of what's happened. The nation of Israel has been enslaved in Exodus. Moses, a couple weeks ago, right, burning bush lights up. When the bush lights up, he hears the call that he's supposed to go back into Egypt to let the people go. We talked about all the excuses he had. We talked about the miracles that were performed. Moses then last week went back into Egypt. He met with the elders of the people, right? And he told the elders of the people, along with Aaron, in that moment, he's like, here's the deal. God's going to rescue us. God's going to set you free. And as soon as they heard they were about to be set free from their chains, they worshiped. That's how we ended last week. We ended last week with a worship service because they were going to be set free. Before we start today, I just want to point this out to everyone in the room. As all of us in this room, we all have chains. We all have had chains. The chains in our life could have been the chains of sin. It could have been the chains of death. It could have been the chains of oppression. It could have been the chains of an addiction. It could have been the chains of believing the lies the world tells you. There's lots of chains that you have and I have in this world. But the truth is, when you've surrendered your life to Jesus, and when I've surrendered my life to Jesus, guess what those chains are? They're gone. Those chains are gone. Now the question is for you and I, do we still pick up the chains? Today in this passage, a nation has been told their chains are about to be gone. A nation has been told they're about to be set free, and they worship. Family, I'm here to tell you today that you've been set free from the chains of death. You've been set free from the chains of sin. You've been set free from the chains of sickness and pain. Like, you've been set free from those things. Now, we might not find freedom today in this moment, but hear me say, we are free. Today in this passage, as you look at it, it says these words, after Moses and Aaron went and said to Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go. Like, it took a lot of courage for Moses and Aaron to go before the Pharaoh. Pharaoh thought he was a god. The world thought he was a god. Aaron would have grown up thinking he was a god, but they went before him and they said, no, here's the deal. The God of all creation, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, this God says, let them go. And then the next statement is this, that they may hold a feast for me in the wilderness. But Pharaoh said, who is this Lord? Why would God say, let my people go? Because here's the thing you and I both need to realize. When you're God's kids, when you're God's people, and you recognize him as Father, you're free. When you're God's people, equal sign, freedom. The question is, do we pick up the chains? Do we still fear death? Do we still listen to the lies that you're not good enough? Do we still listen to the lies that you're not strong enough? Do you still listen to the lies that you're not beautiful? Do you still listen to the lies that your past sins are shame that you carry? Do you still listen to the lies that materialism will make you happy? Do you still listen to the lies that you have to look out for yourself because no one else will? Do you still look out for the lies that in this world I'm just going to make myself as happy as I can while I'm here because nothing else matters? Do we still listen to the lies of one more drink or one more smoke or one more hit? Do I still listen to the lies that the only way I can find peace is with another person? Do we still wear those chains? Because that's what's happening. It goes on and says this, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. But Pharaoh said, who is this God? Like, who is this Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I don't know the Lord, and moreover, I will not let Israel go. Literally, y'all, in this moment, guess what? Hear me say this real clearly. He asks the right question. The right question is this. The right question is, who is God? That's what Pharaoh says. Imagine someone coming to you and saying, hey, all of your slaves, all of your objects, all of your material, like everything you have that allows you to be who you are, you need to let them go. And his first question is, who's asking me that? Like, what brother thinks he can take that from me? Have you looked around? You see my chariots? You see my soldiers? You seen my swords? You seen my spears? Like, who is this God? Do you know why most of the world lives the way they live? Do you know why most of the world thinks the way they think? Do you know why most of the world does what they do? It's because they don't know God. See, that's the thing is, people that don't know God aren't our enemy. People that think different than you and think different than me. People that act different than you and act different than me. People that have different philosophies, different theologies, different ecclesiologies, different all these different things. Like, people that are different than us, people that vote different than you, they're not your enemy. The purpose of our life is to show them how good God is, so they can have the same freedom that we have. But when the purpose of our life is to pick up our chains and live in our own fears and anxieties and stresses, then they don't see freedom. They just see nothing different than them. They see a people that are just as enslaved as they are. We just talk about freedom. Hey, y'all, why don't other people see him? The answer to that question is found under the question, do we really believe he's God? Do we really believe? Here's the deal. Do I really believe that God's way is best? Like, if he created the heavens and the earth, do I really believe he knows the best way to live in it? Or am I just going to think, I'm going to say yes to him because that future thing, that eternity thing, that makes sense to me. But I think I know better than God while I'm on earth. I think I'm still going to listen to I'm not good enough. I think I'm still going to listen to if I get this, I'll be happier. You with me? And then we wonder why we don't find freedom. One of Satan's greatest lies is that being obedient isn't a blessing. Obedience to God is a life of fulfillment on earth. Disobedience to God is trying to preach a sermon with chains on. Then he said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go in a three-day journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with persistence or with a sword. But the king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people away from their work? Get back to your burden. See, the Pharaoh looked at the people of Israel as an object. Remember, slavers look at slaves as objects. In this world, if you look at this world as people that you can get something from, you have the mindset and the spirit of a slaver. If you're walking on this earth and you think you're an object and your identity is in what you do or what people say about you, you have the mindset of a slave. But the mindset of someone who's free looks at people as brothers and sisters. And the mindset of someone who's free know their identity comes from being a child of God. And he said, behold, the people of the land are how many and how can I let them rest from their burdens? The same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmaster, the people, and their foremen, you shall no longer give the people a straw to make bricks as in the past. Let them go and gather their own straw. But the number of bricks that they made in the past, you shall impose on them. So you got to make the same amount of bricks, plus you have to gather the straw. That's a lot more work. Therefore they cry, let us go and offer sacrifices to our God. Let heavier work be laid on the men, that they may labor and it pay no regard to their lying words. He says these words. He says, oh, if you got so much time to take a break for 3 days and go sing songs, guess what? You got more work to do. See, what does the spirit of a slaver, what does the spirit of the enemy do? Is when you try to find freedom, they oppress you so you find no hope. What has the enemy done to you and done to me in my life? Is this chain that I pick up or that chain that you pick up might give me an hour of pleasure in a week. But in the next 166 hours of that week, I got to wear it. There's so many times that you hear stories that I've counseled women, people that have stepped away from a trafficking situation or stepped away from just an abusive relationship. And the truth is they actually find comfort in the abuse because there's something in that that's recognizable, but the idea of freedom doesn't make sense. Do you guys know that's us? Like, we can say on stage you're free. We can say that that addiction doesn't have to hold you. We can say that you don't have to be bound by your past mistakes. You don't have to, like, that shame shouldn't hold you. Like, this is all of us, but there's something in us that we know that's true, but because we haven't experienced it, we haven't experienced that freedom, we're afraid of it. Family, like, the first time I saw the ocean, I could hear about the ocean, but the first time I jumped in it and it knocked me down, I felt its power. It changed. I knew it was there, but the first time I had salt in my nose, it felt a little different. The first time I'm sleeping in a hut in the middle of Africa, it was different than when I saw it on National Geographic. The first time I roll up on a Range Rover next to a lion is different than one in a zoo. You can say yes to freedom, but if you're unwilling to step into it, it'll just be something you know exists versus having the experience of it. It goes on. So the taskmasters and the foremen of the people went out and said to the people, thus says Pharaoh, I will not give up the straw. Go and get your straw yourselves, wherever you can find it, but your work will not be reduced in the least. So the people were scattered throughout all the land of Egypt to gather, stumble straw. The taskmasters were urgent, saying, complete your work, your daily task each day, as if there was straw. And then the foremen of the people of Israel, who Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and were asked, why have you not done all of your task in making bricks today and yesterday in the past? Pharaoh doubles down, he makes it harder, he beats them more, people lose their lives, and all of a sudden they're thinking in the back of their brain, I thought we were going to be free. And so in this moment when your chains get on, in this moment when it gets really heavy, in this moment that you're up in the night worried, or you wake up in the morning, or you can't pay this bill, or up in the when you can't put the drink down, or you can't say no to this person, like, I don't know what it is in your world, I don't know what chains you wear, I know about my chains. But whatever chains you wear, in the moment you're overwhelmed by the chains, the next question is, where do you turn? Because these slaves, guess where they turn? It says this in verse 15. Then the foreman of the people of Israel came and cried to who? To Pharaoh. They turned not to God. They turned not even to Moses and Aaron. They turned to the slaver because they'd never experienced what it felt like to be free. Hey, family, freedom is better. In this world today, one thing that keeps us in our chains is because a lot of the chains that you wear or a lot of the chains that I wear, actually, they're things that make us feel good in a moment but destroy everything around us. I'm going to say that again. Do you guys hear me that over there? Can you hear over here when I'm over there? You can't you? I'm going to say it one more time. That a lot of the chains that I wear and the chains that you wear feel good in a moment but destroy everything around me after the moment. And so no matter how bad it gets, No matter how oppressed I am, no matter how I can't get it done, no matter how I can't sleep, how I can't work, how much pain I'm in, when I know the only comfort that felt right and the world tells me, man, Jason, if it feels good, do it. Man, I'm going to go right back to that thing and I'm going to do it again, because 30 seconds of feeling good when you can't feel good any other way is worth all the other pain. But hear me say this, if you'll drop these chains, you can experience freedom. Like real freedom. Like freedom from the anxieties, freedom from the stresses, freedom from the depression, freedom from the addictions, freedom from people's perceptions of you. Like I'm saying, it doesn't ever completely go away, but man, there's way less now than there used to be, y'all. I got way more freedom now than I've ever had. And the only reason I still have some chains is because guess what I do? That's right, your 47-year-old pastor. He still picks them up sometimes. He's switching shoulders because this one's getting sore. And he puts his chains on now. It goes on. When the foreman of the people of Israel came and cried to Pharaoh, why do you treat your servants like this? If anything in this passage strikes me the most, it's where do we turn? Where do we go for help? It's like watching that junior high kid seek help from another junior higher. And you're just like, what? It's like us seeking help from someone's life who wears chains, who doesn't want to be free. The truth is, most people are so selfish, they'll give you advice so you experience the pain they experience, so they're not alone in their pain. That's how selfish your friends are. That's how selfish we are. Where does your help come from? Your help comes from the Lord. It goes on. Now straw is given to your servants, yet they say to us, make bricks, and behold, your servants are beaten, but the fault is your own people. But he said, you are idle, you are idle. That is why you say, let us go and make sacrifice, Lord. Pharaoh says again, you're an object, you're an object, you're an object. All you are good for is wearing chains. That's why when you and I look in the mirror, we have worries, concerns, and anxieties. Why? Because the world has told us all we are is our physical appearance. Or when you look at your bank account and it stresses you out and you're worried and you wish you had more, it's because the world has told you that the more money you have, the better you are. Family, do not mistake. People are not your enemy, but worldly philosophies are from the devil. And we are consumed with perspectives that the world has, all of us. And the only way we can escape them is to take a step back and know what he says. It goes on, go now and work. No straw will be given to you, but you must still deliver the same number of bricks. The foreman of the people of Israel saw that they were in trouble when they said, you shall by no means reduce the number of bricks, your daily task each day. Verse 20, it says this, then they went to Moses and Aaron, who were waiting for them, and as they came out from Pharaoh, and they said to them, so they leave Pharaoh, they find out it ain't going to get any better, and this is what they say, the Lord look on you and judge you, because you have made us stink in the sight of Pharaoh, and the servants have been put to the sword and their hands to kill us. Like they said, hey, we listened to you, and now it's worse. So they're saying to Moses and Aaron, there is no way, hear me say this right now, you need to hear me say this very clearly, there's no way a good God would allow hard things to happen in my life. Because I think that there's no way a good God would allow hard things to happen in my life, I don't believe that you know God. Or we might say it this way, I don't know if I believe in God. He didn't say when the chains were gone, we didn't have to still live in a world that wore chains. See, when I came to know Jesus as a young man, I thought it was going to be like a Disney movie. It's like, bam, it all just happened the right way. Things just got really good all the time. But the truth is, yes, I was set free from sin. I was set free from death. But I'm in a constant battle with myself. And not only do I have to battle myself, I got to deal with y'all battling with yourselves. And because of that, it ain't perfect. Because of that, sometimes it's not even good. But that doesn't mean it's not blessed. You know, Jesus says it this way, that wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many walk through it. But narrow is the road that leads to joy, to peace, to love, to fulfillment. And few find it. And why don't we find it? Because the chains don't fit to walk through it. It's hard to walk through a narrow gap when you're carrying your luggage, y'all. And because of that, God wants us to experience eternity now, like heaven now. It doesn't mean it's always going to be perfect. People are going to get sick. We live in a fallen world. But in a fallen world, you can have peace if we leave the chains behind. The passage ends this way. Then Moses turned to the Lord and said, O Lord, why have you done evil to his people? It's first off, it is okay for Moses to ask God a question. It's okay for Moses to ask God a hard question. it is okay for you to ask God hard questions. It's okay for you to question the Lord. I'm going to read it again. Moses says, "Oh Lord, why have you done evil to the people? Why did you ever send me? Like, why did you send me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, and he has done evil to his people, and you have not delivered your people at all." Like, God, why did you do this if you weren't going to deliver them? It's just made it harder. You know what Moses did? It was the right question, but Moses did something really wrong right here. Do you remember what it was? He forgot that the Lord said, "I'm going to set you free." But he told Moses, Pharaoh wouldn't let it happen right away. See, Moses remembered the freedom part, but he forgot the part when he said Pharaoh's heart was going to be hard. Pharaoh wasn't going to do it right away. That there was a grind. You had to grind before it was good. You had to get up and get up and get up, and it was going to be hard, but in the end, you were going to find freedom. In the end, you would walk around, and the chains would be gone, but that doesn't mean they weren't going to try to throw the chains back on you. It'd be like a bunch of us in this room knowing that we have found freedom, that freedom is found in heaven, but thinking that we're supposed to just experience heaven right now. No. The truth is that they needed to know that God was the one that was freeing them. It wasn't Moses, it wasn't Aaron. Because Moses forgot the truth that God gave him. He questioned the faithfulness of God. I'm going to say that again so that everyone can hear it. Because Moses forgot the truths of God. Because he forgot what God said, he questioned the faithfulness of God. So many of us in this room, in our lives, question the faithfulness of God. Because we have the wrong expectations of him. God is faithful. And if we have the wrong expectations of God, it might not even be your fault. It could have been a pastor or a teacher or a friend or a son that told you the wrong thing. I'm not blaming you. I'm not blaming them. But the only way we can live in this world and truly understand the things that God says and the faithfulness of God is to remember his truth. Throughout the Old Testament, they had feasts and festivals. You with me? Yom Kippur, which is the most holy day in the Jewish faith. It's a day of repentance and a day of remembering that they've been set free. The Passover, we talked about before, it's a moment of the celebration of freedom from bondage, freedom from slavery. For us, when we celebrate the Passover, it's Easter for us. It's a celebration that what? Death has been conquered. That sin has been conquered. And then at Pentecost, what does the Jewish people celebrate every single year? Whether they believe in Jesus or not, they celebrate when the law came down, they discovered that their ways weren't best, that God had a better way, that God knew best. That's what they celebrate, the freedom from self. At Pentecost, we not only celebrate the law that was given, we celebrate the Spirit that was given that also sets us free. The Spirit that lives in you and me and convicts and encourages and allows me to be set free from who? Myself. But when I remember those things, I realize I get mail. When I remember those things, hear me say this. When I remember what happens in my life, when I remember what God has done throughout history, when I remember what God has done in this moment, I find freedom, y'all. I find freedom in that moment. What do you do to remember? What do we do to remember? This is me talking as like your friend. I'm taking a step away from being a pastor for a second. Can I do that? Step away from being a pastor, because if you hear it from a pastor, you're going to think, of course, the pastor said it. But I'm going to say it. You with me now? Nod your heads. This is friend Jason. This is life coach Jason, not pastor Jason. And here it is. You ready? One of the reasons why we forget is because we don't spend enough time just in his word by ourselves. There's another reason why we forget. Today in culture, it has become culturally okay. This is why I have to say this is your friend now. To just go to church once every 5 to 6 weeks. You know what? It's not like we don't even count who's here. We don't count. Like, I don't know. Someone asked me the other day, one of these church growth experts, it's like wanting me to do something. Like, how many people come to your church? I don't know. Well, do you count? No, we don't count. Well, how do you know who's there? I said, I walk up on stage and I look at them. I don't know. That's real. That's a true story. Like, I don't care. But hear me say this. I love you. And the reason I want my kids to sit in a church service every single week is they're reminded of the faithfulness of God. The reason I want them to open up their Bibles or look on their phones every single day, they're reminded of the faithfulness of God. The reason why I want you to have a if you spend as much time, like name your top five relationships in your brain. If you spend as much time with Jesus as any one of those five relationships, listen to me, you would know of the faithfulness of God and you would suffer so much from putting the chains back on. Okay, back to Pastor Jason. Do you understand what he was saying now? We do it every week with communion. Communion is a moment that we celebrate that the chains were taken off. Communion is our moment to not just remember that the wafer that tastes like garbage is bread, and the juice that sometimes is kind of bitter is His blood. It's to remember I'm free. It's to remember my identity is not found in my chains. It's to remember that death has no hold on me. And it's to remember and to renew our commitment to each other and to Him. Hey, family, freedom. Freedom is found in Him. Let's stop turning to the slavers and start turning to the one who sets us free.
That was Pastor Jason Epperson of the CU Church, reminding us that God can break the chains that enslave us. Remember what God has done in history and what He's done in your life. Spend time in God's Word, keep going to church, and stay in fellowship with other believers. If you'd like to know more about our faith journey, why you can trust in God, who is Jesus, the importance of reading the Bible, call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.